Welcome to today's episode of Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Dix. Picture this. It's sometime in the not-too-distant future, and you're out with your friends one night having a few drinks. Maybe a few too many drinks. At some point, you decide to leave, jump in your car, and start driving down the road. Within a few blocks, your car becomes aware that you're driving drunk, and it takes action. What happens next is anyone's guess. Maybe the car takes your control away and goes into full self-driving mode. Maybe it just pulls over and turns itself off. Maybe it calls you a cab. Maybe it calls the police. Who knows? The more pertinent question in front of us today is, how on earth did the car know you were driving drunk in the first place? Today's paper holds a possible key. In this article, the researchers leveraged the EOG sensors in the smart glasses that the driver was wearing to examine their eye movements and determine their blood alcohol percentage. Let's take a look at how they did it. Before we jump in, let's propose a future reality. Let's propose a reality occurring some point in the future in which two things are true. One, smart glasses, that is, augmented reality glasses, are ubiquitous. Everybody wears them all the time. And two, drunk driving is still a major problem. It is that proposed future that gives us the context for this paper. The authors have developed a novel way for the smart glasses that everyone will be wearing to detect if a person operating a vehicle is under the influence of alcohol, and if so, their blood alcohol content percentage. We're going to be talking a lot about a technology called EOG today, so let's touch on that for a moment. Big picture, in order for smart glasses to create an augmented reality for you, the wearer, they don't just need to monitor the world in front of your eyes. They need to monitor your eyes as well. So AR glasses are looking both outwards at the world and inward at your eyes while you're wearing them. What you're seeing displayed on the lenses takes both of those sets of signals into account in order to create a coherent and reactive universe for you. One of the technologies that the glasses use while monitoring your eyes is called EOG, electrooculography. The details of the technique matter less than how it's used. It's used to monitor eye movement in a non-invasive, lightweight, and fairly low-power way, so it's a good choice for use in smart glasses. There are a lot of other ways to measure someone's eye movements, but since EOG is increasingly used within AR glasses, that's the tool these researchers are focusing on. Their goal was pretty straightforward. Develop a way to leverage smart glasses, specifically EOG, to detect and determine the blood alcohol concentrations of the wearer. Here's how they went about it. First, they put together a driving simulator consisting of the following pieces: a cage simulating the car's body made out of steel, a driving chair, a steering wheel, pedals, a gearbox, three 27-inch LED monitors, and then driving software with routes and streets loaded in. Then they designed a driving circuit consisting of 9 total tasks. 3 of the tasks were driving through an intersection, so they did a driving left, a driving right, and a driving straight through an intersection. The next 3 tasks were about driving through a roundabout, so driving left, driving right, and driving straight through a roundabout. The last 3 tasks were about parking: perpendicular parking, parallel parking, and diagonal parking. Next, they recruited 9 people to drive all stages of this circuit 4 times each. So every subject followed the same basic procedure. They would sit in the cage and drive the circuit, all 9 stages, while wearing smart glasses. These were Jin's meme glasses, to be exact. Then the subject would drive the whole circuit again 3 more times. On each of the 4 total rounds, the subject would wear an increasingly strong pair of drunk vision goggles on top of the smart glasses that they were already wearing. The drunk goggles were set to approximate 0%, 1%, 2%, and 3% blood alcohol level, respectively. So, in other words, the subjects would do the full circuit sober, that's 0% intoxication, then do it 3 more times, getting more and more intoxicated each time. Unfortunately, the authors didn't provide much info about the drunk goggles or how they work, so take the goggles' effectiveness at simulating actual BAC levels with a grain of salt. That being said, we can forgive the researchers for not wanting to actually get their subjects drunk, so the use of drunk goggles makes sense, at least for this proof of concept. While each of the subjects drove the circuit over and over, the smart glasses fed the EOG data into a laptop. After all the data was collected, the researchers moved on to the analysis step. Their data was rather noisy, so a significant amount of work had to go into cleaning it up, dividing the EOG signals into four channels, manually removing artifacts, and then normalizing the data. Next, they needed to do some feature selection. They had 44 features and used the ANOVA F test to narrow it down to several subsets. The smallest subset was 25 features, and they went up in increments of 5. Rather than choose a subset of features and then run classification, they decided to run the classification several times using a combination of different feature groups and different classification algorithms, then choose the best combination of algorithm plus feature group. With their feature groups defined, the next step was the actual classification. The researchers used the MATLAB classification learner application to run the classification over and over with different options. Specifically, they ran the classification with these algorithms: decision trees, support vector machines, nearest neighbor classifiers, boosted trees, bag trees, subspace discriminant classifiers, subspace K nearest neighbor classifiers, and RUS boosted trees. For many of these algorithms, they ran the classification several times with different feature groups that were handpicked for the algorithm in question. For each test, they ended up with the following results: accuracy, a confusion matrix, and an ROC curve. Once they tabulated all the data and compared the results, there was one clear winner: bag trees with a group of 25 features. If bag trees, or bagging in general, or bootstrap aggregation doesn't sound familiar to you, it's easiest to think of it as many different decision trees considered in tandem, trained in parallel, and then aggregated to complement each other's weaknesses. It's an ensemble learning technique and is an alternative to boosting. Overall, I'd argue that the results were promising for a proof-of-concept research paper, though the performance was far from stellar and certainly not superior to other known methods for detecting blood alcohol levels. The researchers achieved an 86% accuracy rate, meaning they were able to correctly classify the EOG signals into one of four blood alcohol levels, that's 0%, 1%, 2%, or 3%, at an average accuracy of 86%. Meanwhile, as the authors point out, other studies using alternative methods have achieved accuracy levels in the mid-90s. So what do we take away from this? I think there's a few meaningful points. Narrowly, keeping on the topic of blood alcohol measurement, we can take away that EOG as a technology, while still in its infancy as a blood alcohol approximation tool, will likely mature as these types of studies are repeated and refined. One day, given the assumed dispersion of smart glasses, EOG may be a genuinely useful tool that can help keep our roads and highways safe. Assuming that both cars and smart glasses in the future will have APIs and SDKs available to developers, it should be fairly straightforward to link the EOG sensors in the glasses with the vehicle's control mechanisms, and voila, you have a car that can take proactive and protective action when the driver is intoxicated. More generally, I think the signal analysis procedure that the researchers used is useful, especially their approach to feature selection. Traditionally, researchers use feature selection as a discrete first step, setting the number of features in stone, after which they move on to selecting a classification algorithm. These researchers' approach was different. Given the computational resources at their disposal and the ease of running and rerunning their analysis in MATLAB, they chose to crunch the numbers for several different feature groups across several algorithms. This isn't always possible or even advisable, but I think this technique certainly has its place. While the authors noted their small participant group size as a drawback of their research, such a small sample makes rerunning computationally expensive analysis feasible. So in this case, why not? If you're interested in seeing photos of their driving simulator, reviewing their signal processing flowchart, or diving into their accuracy tables, confusion matrices, and ROC curves, make sure to download the paper. It's got a ton of charts and graphs and illustrations that help illuminate the procedures they used and the results they obtained. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs, signing off. See you tomorrow.